Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. One low-lying Wilmington neighborhood is expected to be very susceptible to rising sea levels down the road. But before tackling that challenge, a solution to chronic flooding it already contends with is being built. Delaware Public Media's Sophia Schmidt explores that project and what else might need to be done to keep the neighborhood livable in the long term.
We had that big flood, I think it was 2012. The water did come. This whole street was underwater, and it even came into the neighborhood house. If we walk down the street...
I'm standing with Marie Reed on Church, B Street in Southbridge. She's president of the Southbridge Civic Association.
And that's Bradford Street, all of Bradford Street. That was probably our worst, was underwater, and the cars got destroyed. But every area of Southbridge at some point has had major flooding.
Reed is also a lifelong resident of the neighborhood.
My family came in here in 1947, and it was flooding back then, and it's always been flooding.
The Southbridge neighborhood of Wilmington is surrounded on multiple sides by the Christina River, a tidal tributary of the Delaware. The historically African-American community is connected to the rest of the city to its north by several bridges. Its position and topography make the neighborhood vulnerable to sea level rise, but it's already dealing with chronic flooding, mainly from rain. A green infrastructure project aims to address the current flooding problem, but it won't be the only solution the neighborhood needs to handle water long term. The neighborhood's low elevation, as well as an old sewer system which combines sanitary and stormwater, has meant that for decades, a good rain leads to water backing up in the sewer pipes and pooling on roads or in basements. The flooding has brought with it other issues, like mosquitoes and mold in homes. Residents say the flooding has eased a bit in the last few years thanks to the city cleaning pipes and inlets and DelDOT resurfacing one of the main roads where it crosses flood-prone train tracks. But Southbridge's flooding is expected to worsen in the future as a result of climate change, says University of Delaware professor Philip Barnes.
If you're flat and you're right on top of it, the sea level rise is going to push your flooding back inland even further.
Okay, so in those different topography scenarios, like where does Southbridge sit?
Southbridge is the worst case scenario. It's right there. It's right on the water. And it's flat.
Barnes says from inundation alone, not including flooding from rainfall, the neighborhood could face serious issues by the end of the century. DENREC, the state environmental agency, works with scenarios between close to 2 and 5 feet of sea level rise by the year 2100.
As soon as you get to about 3 feet of sea level rise, then it begins to ramp up and accelerate and inundate more of the streets and the infrastructure in Southbridge. So 1 foot is... At this point, without doing any additional projects or engineering, going to be a pain, but probably manageable. 2 feet gets close to a tipping point, and then I think at 3 feet, you're looking at a situation where Southbridge may become uninhabitable.
The state considers a little over 3 feet of sea level rise by the end of the century an intermediate scenario. Maps developed by DENREC and the Delaware Geological Survey show the scenario would put Bradford Street and parts of Christina Avenue, Lobdell, Peach, Apple, South Claymont, and even Newcastle Avenue underwater. It would submerge Barbara Hicks Playground on the east side of the neighborhood and impact several homes, churches, and businesses. The state's high scenario is 5 feet of sea level rise by 2100. That would inundate much of the eastern half of the neighborhood.
But it's important to remember that that's at high tide, and that doesn't account for any flooding from a precipitation event. So when it rains, the sea level rise amplifies the flood risk.
The city of Wilmington is currently working to mitigate the neighborhood's chronic nuisance flooding. A project known as the South Wilmington Wetlands Park broke ground this summer on the site of a former natural wetland and later brownfield to the west of the neighborhood.
So the idea here is to build a wetland that serves almost like a bathtub, put a separate set of pipes under the streets that only carry rainwater, and instead of carrying it to the wastewater treatment plant or to the river, we're going to bring it to this wetland where it's going to circulate, sit, and interact with the wetland ecosystem until the tide in the river exhausts, the low tide cycle comes, and then the wetland drains.
That's Jeff Flynn, the City of Wilmington's Director of Economic Development. Flynn calls the roughly $28 million South Wilmington Wetlands Park and Sewer Separation Project a water quantity and water quality system. Models by the engineering firm that designed the project show it's expected to reduce the extent of flooding in the neighborhood by 12 acres during a 10-year storm. Clarence White owns White's Body Shop on Buttonwood Street, one of the closest streets to the future wetland park.
Every time it would be a full moon or end of the month, the Christiana River couldn't take the water, so it would always come over here up to our step.
He thinks the wetland park's impact on flooding will ripple into other areas of life in Southbridge.
I think the project's nice. I came here in, 71, and I've been here ever since, and we have endured the flooding ever since then. And now that they're going to correct it, I think it's going to increase the area and population, people, stores, and whatever in this area.
White's business is expected to benefit directly from the project, but businesses on the neighborhood's eastern side won't be so lucky. The park and the sewer project will only drain water from part of Southbridge, west of South Heald Street. Flynn shows me this drainage shed on a map in his office.
Mm-hmm. These are the sites that historically flood. Mm-hmm. These circles here, you can see that there's three sites that are outside of the drainage shed. Our goal is to, once this is up and running, to restudy the volume of flooding and the occurrences here. And then if we need to install a similar solution, we will do so here.
A possible future East Wetland. The eastern half of the neighborhood, including Bradford Street, where Reed says flooding was worst in 2012, is outside of the current project's drainage shed. But Flynn says 75% of the neighborhood's residents and structures are located within it. The Wetlands Park is scheduled to be functional this spring, and the sewer separation project is expected to be finished by the following spring. The project has been more than a decade coming. In 2003, the neighborhood got a grant from NOAA to develop a plan, which recommended the park as a solution to flooding as well as a recreational facility. Marvin Thomas was the Civic Association president at the time and a major force behind the 2006 plan.
We are a small, compact, 1.64 miles Southbridge. It's populated primarily by African Americans, and we have not been able to get the kind of attention financially, support that we think we deserve over the years. And we find ourselves today a little bit better off because of this document.
Rishima Dixon is an at-large city council member with a history of community work in Southbridge. She says the Wetlands Park project is finally becoming a reality thanks to a group of residents like Thomas who stood fast and demanded city action. But she recognizes the project's limits.
It's going to really help one side of Southbridge and not the other quite once the Wetland Park comes in. So there's still a need for more to be done, especially when, as you get future down the line, of being able to really make sure that Southbridge is not underwater at a certain point.
Dixon thinks a community-led emergency evacuation plan is among several solutions needed to help keep residents safe long-term. Marie Reed is working on such a plan and hoping to formalize it with emergency management officials. She says it should consist of gathering residents at a safe common space like a nearby school until they can be transported out.
Using the residents, because we are a tight-knit, close community. So using residents to help residents with their children, help with our seniors, help those make sure they have their medication, to be at a holding place until help comes to get. Because I really do believe that, again, there'll be another major storm or another major situation where we have to evacuate.
Dave Gula is a planner at the Wilmington Area Planning Council who recently worked on a study of the flood-prone 7th Street Peninsula just across the river from Southbridge.
There are places where the city needs to say, we're going to armor the shoreline here, we're going to put in flood mitigation measures, we're going to protect an area. But there are other parts of the city where they might say, we are looking at a lot of money thrown in and we're going to continue throwing money in. At some point, you're wise to just buy those areas out and say, there's a reason water is going there. You know, in a previous life, this was a buffer area for flooding, and we built on it. And maybe we need to let it go back to some degree.
Wilmington Public Works engineer Brian Lennon said in an emailed response to questions that the city hasn't heard feedback from the Southbridge community seeking managed retreat as an option. Lennon said the city favors living shorelines, but that some degree of barrier-type protection may be needed to prevent inundation of inland areas by the Christina. He says Wilmington has applied for a FEMA planning grant to evaluate these needs, as well as the possibility of an East Wetland in Southbridge, and a citywide resiliency plan assessing Wilmington's climate change risk and making adaptation recommendations is expected next month. WMAPCO planner Gula says the state should take a lead on sea level rise adaptation policy.
We're one of the first states that are dealing with sea level rise because we already have problems, and we're the lowest lying state in the country. So we're sort of a model. We can borrow anecdotes from other places, but as a state, we really need to see a strong state policy on this.
DENREC spokesman Michael Glabetti said in an email the agency does not determine adaptation outcomes, but rather provides the science and technical assistance to help local governments choose their own path. But he called the South Wilmington area not a particularly good candidate for managed retreat because of the critical regional infrastructure that exists there, including the Port of Wilmington and interstate highways and rail lines. He said strategies of protect and elevate are generally most appropriate for urban areas. Marie Reed of the Southbridge Civic Association says retreating is not an option.
Oh, we're going to fight to keep you living here. Oh, yeah. We're up there with hell no, we won't go. And I'm being very, very honest. I've lived here. This has been my home always, always.
In Southbridge, Sophia Schmidt, Delaware Public Media.
Thanks, Sophia. And this story was reported in conjunction with From the Source, Stories of the Delaware River, a year-long collaborative reporting project produced with support from the National Geographic Society, the Lenfest Institute for Journalism, and the William Penn Foundation. And next on The Green, we visit Middletown to examine efforts to bring its downtown to life. You're listening to Delaware Public Media.